Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the young. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday, and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are tuning in by internet, if you would like to call in and participate when the speaker opens up the mic, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, the speaker will open up the mics at the time that the Holy Spirit, the Lord, speaks to her. And you will have an opportunity of being able to share what the Lord has placed on your heart or ask any questions and so on and so forth. And we do thank you for doing that. Also, we'd like to let you know that you can go to the archive to listen to this message again. Amen. This is a ministry, so please telephone, tell a share with a friend that Pastor Nixon is on the line this evening, and she has a word for them. Amen. We moving on. We also like to inform you that Pastor Robinson from out of Tennessee, he did send me a text, and he's asking for prayer. He and his wife are going heading to Alabama. He is from out of Tennessee. He's asking for prayer for those prayer warriors. Amen. They're going for a surgery, and he's asking for prayer. Amen. That is a big task. Amen. But we know that God is able. In James 5:16, it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much." Amen. We know that God is able to heal. Amen. So we do believe in that, and we just want him to know that we are praying for him as a corporate group. Right now, we are going to move over into. Are there any other prayer requests that we have?
Yes, we have a list.
Amen.
We have a list of folks to pray for this evening. And those that are listening, if you have people that you want to add on, please make sure that you say their names too, that we put their names out. When someone asks you to pray, it's so important that we as believers need to remember that we're not doing them a favor. It's our responsibility.
Amen.
To pray and to lift up our brothers and sisters. And when someone asks you to pray, they're trusting you to go before the Lord and petition on their behalf, to intercede on their behalf. So we have a few people on our list that I'd like to mention. We want to lift up Linda Taylor, Altamiz Bell, Karen Clayton, Christine, I guess Gary Drinsky, Joan Simpson, Shirlene Perkins, Dr. Sam McGrath, Nancy Shaw, Doris Hexell, Bill Spratlin, James Manuel, Matthew Stevenson, Patsy Coggin, Shirley James, Corey Hamler, Tina Hobbs, Trinita Hobbs, and Janetta Hobbs, Pearly Keller, Jackie Kane, Norman Rice, Lisa Doggett. We also want to lift up Elisa Kasak and Keita Thompson. I would also want to pray and lift up those children that are living in traumatic and impoverished situations, especially during this season of COVID-19, that they are kept healthy, that there's someone that would have mercy on them, that there'll be compassion that would be shed on them, that all of their resources and needs are met. For families that may be struggling with sickness, depression, or isolation, and individuals with that may be struggling, that they also be remembered. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I praise your name, dear Lord, and thank you, Father God, because you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. You are our creator, Father God. There's no us without you, dear Lord. We know, Father God, that you care for us, Father God, even more than our parents care for us, dear Lord, that you know every single hair on our head, our beginning, our end, our waking, our lying down, Father God. You know how we're made, dear Lord. You know what our purpose is, Father God. So I just lift up all of these individuals, Father God, and actually every household that's represented on this call, Father God, those that are here, Father God, those who want to be here, Father God, and those that we're remembering today, Father God, that you would just bless these households, Father God, and bless the individuals, dear Lord. I thank you, Lord, that their bodies, Father God, those that are dealing with sickness and disease, Father God, that they will remember, Father God, that you are Jehovah Rapha, that you have the last word. It's not what the doctors say, Father God, but it's what you say, Father God.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, for miracles, Father God, for cancellation of all types of curses right now,
yes,
in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that you would just heal these bodies, Father God, that their bodies would respond, Father God, to the Holy Spirit, Father,
yes,
God, respond to the medications that they may have been given, Father God, that their cells, Father God, would be rejuvenated and,
yes,
and restored, Father God,
Jesus,
in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that they're redeemed from all pain in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you put people around them, Father God, to speak life into their situations, life to their bodies, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and that every radical cell, Father God, would be would consume itself, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that the healthy cells, Father God, begin to rise up and take over, Father God, supplying what's needed to the body, dear Lord. I ask you, Lord, that every drop of blood, Father God, in their body responds like the blood of Jesus responds to the kingdom, Father God.
Yes.
That their bodies, Father God, and every organ, Father God, is restored in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we remember that the blood that was shed on Calvary, Father God, was for each and every one of the diseases that's in the earth, Father God, including COVID-19.
Yes.
So we just take authority, Father God, placing the name of Jesus over all other names, Father God.
Yes.
That when it comes to healing and restoration, Father God, that it's you, dear Lord, that hold the key, Father. And we lay these things and these people, Father God, and our concerns right now at your feet, Father, knowing that you care for us first, Father God. And we ask you, Lord, that there be no backlash or retaliation in these prayers, Father God, but that we have praise reports next,
yes,
week, Father,
yes,
God, as early as next week,
thank
Father,
you,
God, about restoration, about healing, about feeling better, Father God, about situations being turned around, dear Lord. Praise,
yes,
reports, Father God, that even the doctors are amazed.
Thank
in
you,
Jesus,
Jesus'
sweet and holy name, we praise you,
yes,
we thank you,
yes,
amen and amen.
Yes, 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 amen. And on that list, we did get a text for Keisha Tidwell. We like to add her own prayer, as well as our speaker for this evening. We pray that God will bless her and her family as she continues to minister to the Word of God. And we pray that as we listen to the Word this evening, that that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable in thy sight. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We're going to move on over into Long Island. We're excited to hear the Word this evening. We're moving over to Long Island with Pastor Dawn Mixon. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Bless the Almighty God for being able to be with you again this third Wednesday. We are always looking forward to what God will say to us on this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. And we are going to rejoice no matter where we are or what we're in, and be,
yes,
glad in it. We thank the Lord for Elder Clay and Lady Clay for always being so kind to allow me to be a part of this great season and time where we are able to speak to God's people. As you were praying for those on tonight, there are yet many that do need prayer. Just got,
yes,
word on today that a friend of our family had passed on this morning. I ask that you keep the Durant family in prayer as they have lost their son, father, and siblings. So we ask that you continue to pray. And thank you for praying for my family, who is now in Orlando, Florida. There are those who are dealing with the height of the COVID-19. So we are praying for our world in general. I don't want to keep you too long, but we're going to familiar passage of scripture to many. Yet, as I always share, there is no new Bible, so there must be fresh revelation. And so we're going to Daniel. We're going to Daniel, the book of Daniel 3. Chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 15, and we're going to read, we're going to start there and see where the Lord sets up. All right, Our Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to preach your word and teach your word. Those who are willing to hear and listen to hear what you have to say to the people of God. We pray, God, that what we say will be life-changing. Let no flesh glory in this word unless, God, you have given us the authority to speak it in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us speak nothing else but what you say. In Jesus' mighty name, and we give you the praise, the honor, and glory, for it is thine. All right, Daniel 3, I'm going to start verse 15. And the word of the Lord reads, I'm reading out of the King James Version. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the clamor, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of the hand of, out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. All right, want to, yep, next verse. Let's go to verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king commandment was urgent, exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. All right. I shared with you on today, you may have gotten the text today. We are going to be talking about you can't hold me forever. You can't hold me forever.
Amen.
It is difficult for many of us who have been in a place of freedom, not freedom just in our physical bodies, but freedom in our minds, which is something as of today, a lot of people are not. They're not free in their minds. They're not free in their spirits. And you'll find that a lot of people have been bound, which means they have been restrained. They have been restricted, unable to move about as what they may be used to or what their God-given ability is to have freedom. Please know that God wants us to be free because the Bible lets us know that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And so there is a place in our life that is free, that we are in a place of freedom. And a lot of times we don't realize that bondage or being bound is not just a physical thing where they have ropes tied around our hands and our feet or have us locked behind prison walls or as we are now in a place where we have been restricted in some areas
not to be able to go into certain places or be around certain areas or be around certain people. So even in this particular season that we are in, we have been in a place of bondage where we have been restricted or restrained from going to and fro where we need to go. You've got to understand that that is a difficult place for a person to be in when you are used to being free. And so that's why so many people even now are dealing with the difficulty of being in a place where they're restricted, where they can't go where they used to go. And sometimes people wouldn't really care whether they went different places or not, but because somebody told them that they could not go, makes them want to go even the more. And so we've got to understand that our mind has to be in a place where we have trusted God. Here in this text, we find three Hebrew boys by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we, as we look at them, they are placed in a difficult position. They serve the Almighty God, who has formed us from the dust of the earth and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. But now they're in a position where they are expected by the rulers of that land to, when they hear the music play, they are expected, as everyone else, to serve a God that they do not know. And so they have to put themselves in a situation where they have to make up their mind. Are we going to serve the God of King Nebuchadnezzar, or are we going to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And so we've got to understand that here they realize that, you know what, if I serve the God of Nebuchadnezzar, I'm still bound. I'm bound to or restricted to serve a God I have no relationship with. I have no understanding who they are. I have to serve a God that is not a part of who I am and restrict myself from serving my own God. And so this is what we've got to understand. These three Hebrew boys had an understanding. I'm bound either way. I'll be either bound to a God I have no desire or love for, or I'm going to be bound because I won't serve the God they want me to serve, and I will be bound and put into a fiery furnace. And this is not the only time that we see in the Bible where people had to make a decision to either serve the God of Israel or serve some other gods. So what we've got to understand is that even in our situations, in our life, there is a time or place where some of us have been put in a position where people wanted us to denounce our God to serve other gods. And we're not talking about statues and different things nowadays, but we're looking at situations, jobs, materialistic things. They have become gods. And so now we've got to understand, are we going to serve the God of our job or the God which people know as money? And we're even in a position right now where people have to make a decision on whether or not a life is worth more than money. And so now we see those who serve the God of money are in a place where they want you to put your children and your family in the position of death so that the economy will be able to survive. But they're not concerned about your survival, but they're concerned about the survival of the God of the economy and money. And so we've got to make wise decisions in these situations. The Bible says that these three Hebrew boys refused to bow down at the sound of the music. And we've always got somebody who's always watching. Somebody's always ready to snitch on you and tell what you're doing. Instead of, if you're watching me, the Bible says it was the Chaldeans who came to King Nebuchadnezzar to notify him that these young men were not bowing to the music and to the God of King Nebuchadnezzar. But my question in that particular situation, if you notice me not bowing, what in the world were you doing while you were watching me not do what you thought I should do? It's amazing to me that sometimes people won't pay attention to their own situation, but they always got an eye on what you're doing. Nevertheless, they went to King Nebuchadnezzar to tell him that they were not, or they are refusing to bow with the gods of Nebuchadnezzar. So now Nebuchadnezzar gets upset. Before he even finds out is this true or not, he gets upset and he begins to make the furnace ready. The Bible says that the furnace, he had them move quickly. And as they moved quickly, they had to get the furnace hot enough so that when they would put them in the furnace, that they would get their punishment by death. What you've got to understand is that when Nebuchadnezzar approaches these three young men, when they tell him that they refuse to bow, we cannot answer you, they said, in this matter, O king. And so you've got to understand, I'm not going to do what you want me to do, king, just because you want us to do it. Before you showed up, I already had a God that I served. And so we've got to understand when you have your God, and there are times where people have been threatened, even in this day and time in other countries. You either serve the God that we want you to serve or you will die. Especially in Africa, there's so many areas in Africa where people and churches were burned because they would not serve their gods. And so we've got to understand that there are times where you're going to have to make a decision. Will you allow anything to separate you from the love of God or stop you from serving your God? Say a lot of things until we're faced with a situation where they tell you, you either denounce your God or die. My God. In order for me to decide whether or not is a no-brainer for me. It's a win-win because I realize to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And greater is the reward do I realize that when you lay your life down for a friend, because God, Jesus, laid his life down for us even when I was undeserving of it. And so here these young men refuse. They're not doing it. They're not going to bow before King Nebuchadnezzar's God. And so what they do, the Bible says, and this is what I love about this text. I'm coming to my favorite part of the text where it talks about Nebuchadnezzar is so upset. The Bible says that they turned up the furnace seven times hotter than what it would normally be, and they bound them. They had on their hosieries. They had on their coats. They had on their hats. And they had on their garments. And they were cast into the midst of the fire, bound. Now, let's look at what they had on, y'all. They had on a hat, which is covering their head. And they had on hosens back in that time. They had those on, they had coats on, and they had other garments on. And they mm-hmm. were put in the fiery furnace. So one thing I realized, they had just about every area on their body covered that was bound except one noticeable place for me. I noticed that they kept their mouth unrestrained. So It doesn't say that their mouths were covered anywhere in the text, which lets me know if you allow me to keep my mouth open, then you've given me an opportunity to open my mouth and cry out to God. God. You got to understand the importance of this, because when I can't use any other physical part of my body, but you allow me to open my mouth, what happens is when you allow me to open my mouth, you allow me to open the door. Because when I open my mouth, it gives me the opportunity to cry for help. And what you have to understand is that I'm crying for help not for those that can that are in the earth that can physically come and get me. But if I get the opportunity to open my mouth in a situation where I've been bound and I am in a place that I cannot get out of, if you allow God to hear my voice, you are already in trouble. You are in a place where you should have never put me in. The Bible says that this furnace was so hot, watch this, that the men that brought them to the furnace to put them in were burnt up by the furnace, but it did not cause the three young men to be burnt up. Now, mind you, they have on everything that should have burned from head to toe, should have burnt up while they were putting them in the furnace. But instead, those that were putting them in the first furnace were the ones who died. You've got to understand, when God wants you to live, they cannot hold you but so long. They cannot only restrain you so long. And watch this, not only that, but those that desire your death and those that want to participate in your death will end up losing what they thought you were going to lose, because they don't realize that the anointing of God that God has over his people, it does not matter. If God has still an assignment over your life for you to do it, there is no weapon. Come on now. There is no weapon that can be formed against you that is going to prosper, because God has already, he wanted them to see their God's glory. He wanted God to see his glory. And so, so now you done bound me. You from head to toe, but you left my mouth wide open. That was number one mistake. And then you put me in the furnace 7 times hotter than what it should be, and those who work for you end up dying in the furnace by the heat of the furnace. They didn't even go in. Here we go. The Bible says, then this is Elder Clay. This is the love part of this text for me. The Bible says that verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, here we go, did not we cast three bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, watch this, in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Let's stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. You put in three. You sure, Nebuchadnezzar, you put in three? He put in three bound. See, the enemy knows how he left you and how he wanted you to be. And so here the text says he was astonished, because he's looking in the furnace. Ooh. And now I don't know how the furnaces were made back in those days, but he had to be able to be far away from the furnace, because you've already burnt up those who were putting them in the furnace. But he was able to probably see them from where he was, and he is losing it because he sees. He knows he put in three, bound. But then he says, but I see four, and they're loose, walking around in the furnace. My God in heaven. That's not even the good part. The good part of the text is that he says after that, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to read it again because I want you to be clear on what Nebuchadnezzar says. He says, and the form, the shape of the fourth one is like the Son of God. Now, I want to start by saying, when I told you to open up your Bibles, I asked you to open up your Bibles to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. Figure out now, I believe if I'm correct, we are in Old Testament scripture. Am I correct? We are in Old Testament scripture, but here is Nebuchadnezzar. Am I reading what I'm reading? Nebuchadnezzar gets a revelation from God, because only God can give revelation. And he says, and the form of the fourth one is like the Son of God. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know when Nebuchadnezzar had this revelation of the Son of God. But if I'm correct, the Son of God has not yet been born.
That's right.
Because we are not in New Testament. Let me understand how good God is and how God is sovereign and can do whatever he wants to do. Here you have a man who wants you to serve a God that does not belong to you. When the music plays, when the harp, when the sackbut, when all of the flutes and all of these music, any kind of music that is being played, I want you to bow before these graven images. I want you to bow before my God. But hold up, wait a minute, O king. I can't do that because my God, I can't answer you in this matter, because even if my God doesn't deliver, yes, Lord, he is well able to deliver. And he wants to show you how much of a God he is. He's going to show you the form of someone who has not yet been sent, so that you'll know how much of God I am. My God, you've got to understand that God will cause things to happen in your life, that he will go against the laws of nature on your behalf. My God, what is against the laws of nature? What goes against the laws of nature is a miracle. We are literally looking at a miracle of a revelation that Nebuchadnezzar is getting. Why? Because he sees the form of the Son of God, yet and still he has not been born in a manger. You've got to understand that God will allow you to see visions and dreams, my God, even before it's time. Why? Because he wants you to know that you are not greater than me. And I want everybody that's on this line to know on tonight, we are literally in a fiery furnace when it comes down to this virus. My God, I had to look and I had to stop because there are so many things. People are concerned. They're aware. I've seen so much death in the last 3 months that I don't want to see another death. I don't want to hear of another death. But yet and still, it's what we face day after day after day. And I said, God, what are we going to do? I trust you. I believe you. My faith is not shaken in you. If I die, let me die. But let me be in the soldier in the army of the Lord. But at the same time, I'm bewildered, God, because people are asking me the question, do you ever think that this virus is going to go away? And I started thinking about it because people said, well, this is the new normal. No, this is the new normal for right now. But you've got to understand, when we start saying that this virus is going to change us or change the church or change, you can't change foundation. You can change structure. But when you start saying that this virus is going to change how the church is, or you can't change our beliefs, you can't change how we are. But watch this. When did a virus become greater than God? When God had sent his Son for the healing of our nation. When we know that the Bible lets us know that by his stripes we are healed. He is going to heal our land. He is going to heal those people that he has chosen to stay here on earth, hallelujah, to be a part of this world until we can continue to bring the souls into the kingdom. Those who have transformed transferred or transitioned into another already got their healing. Please be not mistaken by a virus that is walking around the earth silently, disguising itself as if it's like a god, as if it is greater than God. Because what you've got to understand is when we think about God and we talk about God, we don't see God. Sometimes we don't feel God. Sometimes we don't know if God is there. But I want you to know he's been holding us together all this time through a pandemic.
Yes.
And while we have lost loved ones and while we have been broken and while we have been disconnected from one another, God is still holding fast to his word. He is God.
Yeah.
He doesn't change. Watch this. Here is the enemy trying to disguise himself like God as a death angel walking around trying to destroy our country and our lands and all of these things. The only one that we know that walks like God, that walks in the spirit and cannot be seen and walks softly, and we don't even know when he shows up, then all of a sudden you see the spirit and the anointing of God come over in a place and it hovers. When the spirit of God is so heavy in the place, you don't know when he showed up, you just know he's there. And here we are. The enemy always tries to disguise himself to be like God, but he never is able to accomplish the things that God has accomplished. I've come to let you know on tonight, you can this virus can only hold us but for so long. But when we come out of this and we break through, when we get to a place where they see the fourth man show up, my God, in this virus, when we see God, the Almighty King, show up in this virus, I come to let you know we are going to come out of this loose, walking around, going free, right in this virus, right in this situation, and God's going to bring us out. I'm not going to stop saying it, hallelujah, because God has embedded it in my spirit. We're coming out of this better than we went in. And I believe God on today. It can only hold us for so long, but I feel a breakthrough coming forth. I'm at a place where I'm not even trusting in government. I'm not trusting in men. I'm not trusting in my job. What I do trust is in the one that I cannot see. And even though I can't trace him, I know he is doing a work in us. Let me tell you something. There is a battle that's going on between people of God and what they cannot see. I trust God, even though I can't see him. There's times I can't feel him. But just like the saints used to say, he's like scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. And he's still holding up the things that need to be held up in order for us. In other words, he's keeping us together in a place where we should be completely disconnected. And I found out, and some of you on this line may agree, that since we've been in this pandemic, I can say this for my church, we have become closer in our disconnection.
Amen.
Why? Because there is a love that the people of God have for one another. And it does not matter how I felt about you last year or the year before. Where we are right now, God said the love of God will cover all, a multitude of sins. And so we've got to understand, it's time for us to forgive one another, get into a place where we can get, when we come out of this, we come out of this. When we come out of this, we are coming out with the understanding that there is a time that we are having to get souls for the kingdom of God. That we are one mind, one belief, that we are to win the souls to the kingdom of God. All right, it's past my time. I'm going to open the open up the floodgates, and y'all can just give us something if you have a chance, if you have a comment that you want to bring forth on today. If you know that you're not being held, you can't be held but so long, you can open up your mic and just share with us on tonight. Share with us tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's fine. That means I know that y'all are listening, and hopefully you have received something that is life-changing to you. Please, 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 everyone, it's very, very important that we are trusting God in a situation. Anytime I come on this line, I come to bring encouragement because we need to strengthen one another. We need to make sure that we have that glue together, because sometimes we don't know one day to the next what we're going to encounter. So we've got to trust God for what we don't see. We've got to trust God for what our next step is going to be. But just like these three Hebrew boys, we got to have an understanding that it doesn't matter what those who are in rule are saying. We've got to trust God in spite of what they're doing. And so when we're living in the government, governmental system that we're living in, it seems as if the people are governing themselves, and we're believing God for our next step in life. And so I trust God that God is going to bring those bring us out. And when he brings us out, I hope that we are taking this time, that we're using our time wisely. We're praying for those who are in need, because there are many people who are in need. And so after all of this is over, there are going to still be the aftermath. And so I shared, just like I'm going to share with y'all tonight, I shared with my own members that it's very important you save as much as you can. You know, make sure not only do you save as much as you can, but please, if you have your bills, pay your bills and then store some to the side. What you got to understand, just like there was a time of harvest, there will be a time of famine, and that is very important, so that when those who are able to store up, for those who could not, we need to be make sure that if someone needs something and they say something, that we will be able to have what they need in their hand. Amen. So continue to pray for one another. Continue to pray for our country, pray for our land, pray for our churches, pray for those who are in our churches, pray for those who are going to be coming to our churches after this situation, because I believe it's very important that we be prepared for what they need when they come into the house of God. Amen?
Amen. 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 Amen.
All right, so I believe that this is a time and a season that we are able to share with one another. If somebody's in need, you are the person that God is going to use to bless another individual. And so, you know, God let us know how many times have he was naked and we didn't clothe him. His people were hungry and we didn't feed him. And so it is important that we do what God has called us to do according to the word of the Lord. And I pray that everyone that is on this line who are hearing me today is doing well, their families are doing well, and we will continue to pray for all of you, that the Lord will continue to stretch your faith, and that you'll know that the direction that when you come out of this, you're coming out better. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Clay.
Amen. I'm sure we have some. I think I hear some comments in the back. Are there any comments?
Yes. I think it was a very profound study, and we have to reach out to other people and spread the gospel, not by just words, but also by action. And if we see someone in need, we should. It's our responsibility to help. Right now, we're faced with a plague or a virus or that has affected people, and there are people who don't have enough food, or just even a kind word or whatever the case might be from a distance. But anyway, even being with that person can make a big difference. But we are to do as Christ did and follow his lead as being Christians.
Amen.
I appreciate your teaching tonight, Pastor Mixon. You're always right on time, and you come with a fiery word, and we appreciate that.
Yes.
I want to say that you really keep thinking about when you talked about freedom physically, spiritually, and mentally with what we're going through, what we're experiencing right now with COVID-19 and with the social justice issues to being right there in and being actually illuminated because of COVID-19. Thank you for reminding us about our responsibility as the body of Christ to pray and to care for one another, to be able to take care of one another. I think in many cases we see churches coming together, like you said, where churches, the relationships are even maybe becoming stronger because they're not meeting in the building. We don't have we took that for granted of being able to see each other, you know, once or twice a week. But now it's we purposefully meet, you know, right at our dining room tables or whatever to make an appointment, make sure we make the appointment so that we come together and we check on one another. So I thank you for that reminder. I also think I'm thankful for what I see going on in the country of different discussion groups. And John and I have joined a couple recently where Christians are coming together because we realize that this is our responsibility. It's the church's responsibility to take a stand, to not compromise, as you were saying. Do not compromise. We don't have to comply to what the enemy wants us to do and to use wisdom. So thank you for a wonderful message this evening. I definitely will be sharing it with the friends and family in my circle.
God bless you. God bless you. I want to also address something. If there's somebody else that wanted to say something, you can go ahead.
Yes, okay. I just feel as though at this time, we have to be faithful to God first, then we can be faithful to each other. And the Hebrew boys, they chose to be faithful regardless of the consequences, whether they were going to be rescued by the Lord or not. Because some people, they feel as though they have faith. Yes, we have faith, but we just have to also realize what is God's will. Because who knows the mind of God? We don't know what direction, you know, according to the Bible, it says in the latter days these things will be happening, famine and pestilence and all of that. But regardless of what's happening, we have to keep that faith. And we as Christians, we're going to suffer because things are going to happen that is going to be directed as far as destroying the Christian, because the Christian should be stepping up even more now. I know they're helping the hungry and whatever. Those are hungry and whatever. But what about the gospel? The gospel, I don't hear any preachers on TV talking like all these politicians and these rappers. They get out there and they speak boldly. It seems like we're timid. We're not being bold. He said be courageous and bold. That's what the Hebrew boys, they were bold and courageous. They didn't hide their faith or their belief in what they knew their God could do. And they said whether they rescued them or not, they still was going to serve the God with all their mind, with all their might. And this is the way we have to do. You know, regardless, we got to get out there, step up, and there's a lot of people dying every day in the corona. When I see all those numbers, I wonder how many of those people were talked to about Jesus Christ, you know, and how many souls is going to heaven, because they're either going to heaven or hell when they close their eyes. We don't know, but we have to, it says, go out there into the nation. And this is, I think, the best time through the media, as far as the internet and all that, we have a great opportunity to really, really touch the lives of many, many people.
Amen. I believe there are a lot of those who are out on social media who are offering up Christ, but you also have to weed those out who are setting their own agenda. And so, you know, it's very important, as the sister said, we have to offer Christ. And whereas many others have a greater platform, if you notice when we start talking about the God we serve, then they're ready to cut us off on social media. You know, or if we're in different settings on newscasts, because I've seen people who are going through even in this social injustice that people are still trusting in God, and they'll cut certain parts off when you start talking about the Lord. But one thing I realize is that you cannot cut off who God is. You can't change or alter who he is. But one thing I do thank God for, I do thank God for the very fact, and I didn't understand it when the president went into the White House. I was so confused by it. I said, God, I don't understand. And God said something to me. He said, this is going to be one of the greatest mistakes that's going to bless us. And I didn't understand it. But I said, as I'm looking at the situation, if there was somebody else in office, a lot of the scabs of America would not be uncovered. We are seeing the social injustice. This, if anybody else was in it, you know, they would have, you know, played the harp and tried to, you know, brush it over and tried to agree with us. But by him being having the character that he has, he keeps it on exposure. And the more it's exposed, the more he's showing his distaste for it, the more we're getting talk concerning it. And so it gives an opportunity for us to have open conversation concerning what America has done for the social injustice of African Americans. And so we've got to understand that this is an opportunity that God has allowed to place in the land so that it will be uncovered. And nothing can't kill if it stays covered. Not covered. Sure. So we've got to let things be uncovered. It has to be uncomfortable for everybody in order for it to heal. So I'm thanking God for that, and I believe that God is going to heal our land. And there is going to be a shift in it. There's going to be a turnaround. We don't see it or when it's going to come, but it's got to come. I ain't saying it's tomorrow, or I ain't saying it's next year, but it will come. Amen. God bless you.
Okay. Well, God is exposing a lot. Just like you said, this happened for a reason, and this is the season for so much that has been exposed on TV and everything. But a lot of times I listen to Christian news and whatever to find out things that the other news, the worldly news, do not reveal to us. So we have to walk by faith, as you say, and trust God in every situation. We have
every
to put
situation.
God in the equation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, again, you have heightened our awareness, and especially from the spiritual realm, and we do thank you for your word this evening. I like your title, You Can't Hold Me Forever. And when I look at that, I think about, you talked about deception. And what's done in the dark will come to the light. God will always reveal that to the believers. So I just believe that the main thing is that we stay close to the Word of God, because what opens up all the darkness, that's what opens up all the injury. Everything begins to open up when we stay close to the Word of God. Now,
Amen.
When we turn away from the Word of God, we turn our backs on God.
Amen.
And so I definitely like your title. I definitely like your message. Thank you for always encouraging us. Thank you for always building up the body of Christ. We do love you. We appreciate you. And we will continue to pray for your family as well as we pray for one another. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank
you. Bless you.
For all those that tuned in, please telephone, tell a friend. Share with someone on that they can go to the archives and hear this message. That's what it's all about, spreading the message, spreading the Word of God, to encourage those who are doubting.
Amen. 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 Father, we thank you for this word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you for Pastor Mixon. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would build her up in the areas where she's torn down and that you would strengthen her where she is weak. Continue to give her faith, Heavenly Father, that she minister to the word of God, to the people that you have placed in front of her. And then, Father, we ask, Lord, that territory is enlarged. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you just continue to guide and that you would direct us through your Holy Spirit.
Yes,
and we'll
Lord.
Be sure to give you the praise. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
I face the dawn.